while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I'm going to give you all an instruction now. And is this, my instruction is this. If you don't want to go to heaven, okay? If you do not want to go to heaven, stand up. Okay, I was just checking. I just want to be clear that everybody here wants to go to heaven. So let me ask you this question, right? And my question is this. Is there anything better than going to heaven? What is better than going to heaven? If you read the synopsis of this today's sermon, you'll see it. It's there. You know, what is better than going to heaven?
Being in heaven.
Being in heaven. Okay. What's better than being in heaven? You see, I can sense what's going on with some people. They're like, listen, we know Pastor Deji. This is a trick question. You know what? He said it is. I'll tell you the answer. There's actually something better than going to heaven. Aha. And I'll tell you at the end. So stay tuned. Today I want to talk about the future. We're here to talk about the future. And when I talk about the future, I mean, you know, the stuff to come. Does anybody here like science fiction? You know, Marvel, I mean, I saw some hands shoot up straight away. Marvel, DC, Star Trek, you know, others in that genre. Yeah. When I was younger, a little bit younger, not that young, not that long ago, we used to watch this thing called Space 1999. You know, some people are saying, oh, you're showing your age now. Space 1999. I mean, goodness me, in the 1970s, everybody thought that, oh, by the year 1999, we'd be living on the moon. Do you remember that show? So come on, oldies, don't be ashamed. You know, Space 1999, was it Maya, the one that used to change, you know, into anything she thought about or whatever it was? Commander Koenig. Yeah, Space 1999. We thought, wow, that's what the future is going to look like. Now, if you mention 1999, it's history, isn't it? Living on the moon. What moon? You know? Hey, listen, I've heard that the fourth Matrix movie is coming out. I saw the trailer for it. I thought, oh, okay. So Avengers, Space 1999, all this futuristic stuff, Star Trek, The Matrix. That's not what I'm here to talk about. Today we're talking about eternity, and our theme calls us to live as we celebrate eternity. Eternity isn't something that many people can grasp or fully understand, because honestly, it's easier to look at what's in front of us than imagine what is to come. It is a lot easier. And society teaches us, it teaches us the words carpe diem. Carpe diem. You know that phrase? And carpe diem, it's the old Latin phrase. It says seize the day. Seize the day. In that phrase, we're told to focus on now. Seize the day. Enjoy the moment. And similarly, you know, we're taught in society, do not put all your eggs in one basket. You know that phrase? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And many of us learn that from when we're young. If you know about investments, it's a similar thing. Investors will tell you, no, you know, invest in different. I mean, I know someone who has 5 separate bank accounts, plus an ISA and a savings account and a something else, a mortgage account. 5 separate current accounts. I'm like, wow, that's a bit, well, each to their own. Pardon? It's a lot of money, exactly. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. Even businesses, it's a business principle. Businesses are taught to diversify. You know, businesses don't typically have just one product line. You know, many of us know that Selfridges, what do they sell? They sell clothes, right? We know that. They sell household stuff, you know, white goods, kitchen stuff. We know that, right? We know that, okay, they've even got a food hall. Selfridges sells food. We know that. But how many people knew that Selfridges sells car insurance? I discovered it a few years back. I was looking for car insurance, and the cheapest one that came up in Money Supermarket or wherever those people are called was Selfridges car insurance. Like, Selfridges car insurance? Okay, I'll take it. I mean, think about it. Many companies are no longer content to provide one product or one service. They're not content with that. You have to spread it all out. Don't put all your eggs in one. Look at Tesco. Tesco Bank, Tesco Finance, Tesco Foods, Tesco Petrol, Tesco Cars, Tesco Holidays. I mean, goodness me, the only thing Tesco doesn't sell, as far as I know, is kidneys, you know. But who knows? Who really knows what they've got planned for 2022, eh? You know? So as much as society tells us to spread our options, Peter in our text today is telling us something different. He's telling us the opposite. He's telling us to put all our eggs in one basket. Look at the text. He says, in verse 13, he says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that he's coming. Another translation of this verse says, set your hope fully. Another one says, set your hope completely on the grace to be revealed. Yeah? Fully, completely, put all your eggs in that one basket of Jesus Christ. You know, it's important whenever we read, before I continue on this, whenever we read anything on the Bible, from the Bible, it's important to understand the situation. It's important to understand the context. Yeah? How was it, or what was going on that led to that being said? And if you read before, you know, we sort of before this verse, from verses 1 to 12, Peter tells us we've been sovereignly called by God. We've been called into a privileged position, into a position of privilege. We're born into a family of God. And it's a family that guarantees us a living hope. It's a family that guarantees us eternal inheritance. It's a family that guarantees us complete salvation, not some half-half, you know, one foot in, one foot out salvation. It's not a salvation where the stains of sin and the scars of sin are still upon us. It's complete salvation. We're washed clean, whiter than snow. And without the hope of this family of God that we're born into, we're just going to be like everybody else. What's the difference between a believer and a non-believer? Simple word is hope. We have a hope that they don't have. There are good Christians, there are bad Christians. Oh, I don't know if you know that. Oh, there are non-believers that do good things, just like there are believers that do bad things. It's the truth. What separates us is the hope that we have, an eternal hope. And without the hope, we'd just be like anybody else. We'd be, you know, we'd be there striving in human wisdom, human labor, human efforts, human competition, human greed. Yeah, human reward systems is what we would be. Let me touch on those. Human wisdom, the truth of it is, if we're striving for human wisdom, what's the difference? Because whether you're wise or foolish, without the hope in Christ, everybody ends up in the grave anyway. If we're striving for human labor, human work, the diligent worker in the end is no better off than the lazy worker. We're all passing through that one gate called death. What's the difference? Human competition. Oh yeah, you know, you want to be number one, but at the end, what you're left with is envy, joy, people backstabbing you, people trying to pull you down. Human greed, yeah? And that insatiable appetite, that lust for more. And it simply says we're never satisfied. A rich man builds, he'll build his storehouse, he'll store all his goods. But guess what? Rich people want to get richer and richer and richer still, never satisfied. And if it's the human reward system, really? Even bad people are congratulated. Even people who do bad things, yeah, are congratulated. They're also honored. They're also rewarded. So these things, you know, human wisdom, human labor, human competition, greed, and rewards, they don't mean anything. They don't do anything for us in the end. Every single one of us has a hole in our lives. You have a hole in your soul, and that hole can only be filled by God. Only be filled by his presence. All of these things, all the efforts, all the competition, all the striving, all the things we try to fill that hole with, they don't take us anywhere. We will never be fully satisfied if we try and fill it, that hole, with anything else but Christ. The Bible teaches us that the kingdom of God is now. And it's the kingdom of God, we also know, is also not yet. It is now because we're living in the kingdom of God. We're witnessing the kingdom of God. We're seeing it at play. But it is not yet because by the grace of God, we have a hope for eternity. A hope for a kingdom that is to come. Amen? That's the reason why Peter is telling us to live for eternity. Live for that hope that we have in Christ. The eternity we have in Christ. He's telling us to live with an expectation of things that are to come. You live today with that expectation of things to come. And I want to highlight three simple things about celebrating eternity. Celebrating eternity where you are. Celebrating eternity today. Celebrating eternity right now. Number one, put all your eggs in one basket. Put all your eggs in one basket. The basket called Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? When Peter says, set your hope in that verse, he is saying, set your hope. Trust God totally. Trust God completely. It means we don't have to provide for our own security. We don't need a plan B when we have Jesus. How do you have Jesus Christ and you have a plan B? What? Jesus should be your whole alphabet. Amen? And the truth of it is, with God on your side, you don't even need a, forget the alphabet, you've got it all. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The truth is that with God on our side, our future is guaranteed. Paul said, touched on this in Romans 8:18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. So number one, we must put all our eggs in one basket. Number two, we must be confident about the future. We must be confident about the future. To celebrate, to live in celebration of eternity, you must be confident about the future. That means you can bank on it. When Peter talked about the grace that's to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that he's coming, what he's saying is giving us an assurance of the future that is certain. You know, on a regular basis, regularly, when we have our time of communion here, we make these three assertions. You remember? Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. The three fundamental truths of our faith. And we must continue to keep that in focus. You see, the truth of it is, it's impossible for us to fix our hope on eternity all the while. We're saying we're fixing our hope on eternity, but our key focus is the resources of earth, the earthly luxuries. We're trying to stockpile. We're trying to stockpile, you know, goods and money. We're trying to hold on to earthly comfort and earthly security while we say our hope is on eternity. The two are not compatible because where your heart is, your treasure should be. If your treasure is in eternity, then set your heart on eternity. Amen? So we must put all our eggs in one basket. We must speak confidently about the future. Number three, in celebrating eternity, you must live like the future is now. Live like the future is now. The future is already happening. Peter writes, Peter says, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. And when he does this, he's saying, what is coming should influence how we are living now. Because you know what's coming in your tomorrow, you prepare for it today. That's what he's referring to. It should influence how we behave. So the celebration of eternity, it means we've got to put all our eggs in one basket. It means we've got to be confident about the future. It means we should live like the future is already here. The future is already right now. So let me ask you this. I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between cash and a check? Simple answer. The difference between a cash and a check is time. Time. I don't have any money in my pocket. I put my hand in there as if I was going to pull out a note to read. And after I put my hand in, it's like, oh, I forgot to put the pound note in my pocket, £10 or whatever. But if you read on any currency, on the paper money, it says, what does it say? I promise to pay the bearer. A note, cash is a promissory note. A check is a promissory note. The fundamental difference is time. With the check, you just have to wait a little bit. Wait a while. Here's another question. What's the fundamental difference between real money and monopoly money? You're laughing. It's not time. Value. Value. The accountant has spoken. Value. What it's worth. Listen, with monopoly money, you can buy houses, but they're tiny and they're green and they're plastic. And even a cockroach won't live in there. But real money, oh, here we go now. Here we go. I don't know which one of you, I keep saying this from time to time. I don't know which one of you God is telling that you should give me £2 million. It used to be 1 million. I've moved it to 2 now. You know, if it's you, see me after service. I'll text you my bank details. We'll work something out. You know, the real difference between monopoly money and real money is value. One buys real houses. Now, let me bring you another contrast. You know, obviously, a check is a promissory note, right? I've got a little bit of money in my account. You know, I'm still waiting. As I said, I'm waiting for that $2 million that you're going to transfer. If I came up to you after the service and I opened up my checkbook and I wrote you a check for £2 million right now and I gave it to you, how would you feel? You can be honest. You can be honest. How would you feel? Would you start shopping for your Bentley and your private jet? Would you? Yeah, see, some people are already laughing. They're not even bothering to answer the question. Some people are shaking their heads. Everybody else is staring at me like, dude, you want to give me a check for $2 million? Are you serious? Now, let me then ask this. This is the other side of the contrast. Okay, so if I wrote you a check for £2 million, you'd be like, okay, pastor. Richard Branson walks in here, and I say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sir Richard Branson. He walks in here after the service. He opens his checkbook, and he writes you a check for two. Okay. I can see you nodding now. Richard Branson writes you a check for £2 million. Would you start looking at houses? Would you start looking at watches and shoes? I like watches. My wife likes shoes. Yes? You'd start thinking about that project, that charity. Yes? Some of you will be thinking about them lot back home. You know those times when you travel home and you are Father Christmas and Mrs. Christmas. As soon as you land, oh, how are you? It's so wonderful to have you back home. You know, I haven't paid my rent for 3 years. Really? You start thinking about who you're going to bless, what you're going to build, what you're going to buy. Correct? You see, the truth of it is this. If I wrote you a check for £2 million, you already know it will bounce. You wouldn't even, I don't even know if you put it in your pocket or your bag. You would show it to people. You take a picture of it, put it on social media as a joke. Well, bless you for your faith. Thank you. At least we have one person who says, well, you know, Pastor Deji must know something I don't know. I'm going to bank that check. But if Richard Branson gave you a check for $2 million, you know you don't even need to wait for it to clear before you start to shop, before you start to think about what you're going to do. You say, yes, finally, we're moving out of Peckham. Yes. Finally. No, there's nobody. Oh, yeah. Oops. Sorry. I thought, oh, Pastor Jasmine's moved out of Peckham. We've all moved out. And then, sorry. I love you guys. Love you still very much. But you know that man gives you a check for $2 million. You know you're going to start living. You know that. Why? Simply put, you don't need to look in his bank statement. You know he can back it up. Correct? How much more with God? Isn't that the same principle? Isn't that the same thing? He's given you everything you need. It's wrapped up. It's waiting for you. He's given you by his grace. All you have to do is hold on to Christ. All you have to do is hold on to the hope of glory. The promises that we have from God, they're a check he has written for us. That's the check. Whether you've banked it or not, whether it is waiting to clear or it has already cleared, you can live like it is true because you know God will back up his promise. Psalm 118, verse 24, it tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made, and it tells us to do what? Rejoice! I know some of you said in your hearts, oh, he hasn't said it today. It was in my sermon. Don't worry, I was going to say it. I actually wrote a note to myself, do not say this is the day the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice. And even if things are difficult, stuff is tough, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, he tells you to rejoice. We've heard that scripture. We've read it many times. You've heard me say it many times. That verse reminds me that I must be thankful today, right now, where I am. This day is the day that the Lord has made. And I have to find that rejoicing from somewhere. It doesn't mean I necessarily smile. It doesn't mean I don't cry. It doesn't mean things don't hurt. But I still have to rejoice. Now, it reminds me that there's something good for me. It doesn't mean I don't have any problems. It doesn't mean all my bills are paid while I'm waiting for you to give me $2 million. It doesn't mean all my enemies are dead. Oh, this old return. I've told you this before. Return to, I don't do return to sender prayers. Oh, return to sender, my enemies must die. Really? Stop. There's nothing in scripture that teaches you to pray like that. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of? If they're dead, who will witness? Who will testify that your God is good? If all your enemies are dead, who's going to testify, say, we were wrong? Who? I don't know what's going on today. I've just got this thing burning within me. This is the day that the Lord has made. It means we find a reason to praise the Lord. We demonstrate faith. We demonstrate an expectation of things hoped for. We demonstrate the evidence of things that we're not yet seeing. It means that we've been given a check from the storehouse of the Lord. And we know anytime we bank it, for sure, it will clear. It may take 5 days. It may take 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years. But you know God's got it. God's promissory note will not bounce. You know, there's so many positive things in society, culture, science, medicine, art, philosophy that we can learn from. Earlier on, I talked about carpe diem. You saw it just a moment ago. Carpe diem. Carpe diem, that phrase, seize the day, as they shorten it to, is actually part of a longer phrase. I'm going to try and speak Latin now. Okay, here goes. For those of you who speak in tongues, just, you know, speak back in tongues. The full phrase is carpe diem quam minimum credula postero. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory. Woo! And it actually means seize the day, trusting as little as possible in the future. That's what the phrase fully means. Don't trust in anything to come. Only trust what you can see now. Don't hope. Don't believe. Today is what's important. Forget tomorrow. It's none of your business. Forget eternity, it's none of your business. And many people have become so much about living for today and not caring about the future. Saints, that's wrong. That's wrong. We see it in the borne out in the physical. The COP26 conference on climate change. For centuries, decades, we've been living like tomorrow will never come. All of a sudden, we realize if at the rate we're going, tomorrow will never come. At the rate we're going. You know, the truth of it is, many of us live without caring about the future. And saints, that's wrong. The Bible never said that we should not care about the future. Let me be clear. The Bible doesn't say do not care about the future. It says do not worry about the future. There's a difference between do not care and do not worry. There's a huge difference. As Christians, we are supposed to live today. We are supposed to celebrate today. However, as we celebrate, we know that we're a chosen people. We know we're a royal priesthood. We know that we're a peculiar people, a great people, a holy nation, a special possession, people that can declare God's praises because he brought us out of darkness into his great and wonderful light. We celebrate because we know that Jesus has prepared a place for us. So we celebrate today, even before we get there. Whoever you are, whatever you're going through, I want to remind you that God has made you promises. He has promised you certain things. He has written you promissory notes. He has written his own spiritual checks for your future. And what he has spoken will not return to him void. Two people said amen. I say again, what God has spoken over you will not return to him void. I can't believe for you like you can believe for you. With all due respect, I'm your pastor. I'm not your personal Holy Spirit. If you can't say amen over something I say, there's nothing I can do about that. It will not return to him void. Now, I'm going to give you some of the promises, some of the checks, some of the promissory notes he has given to you. Those of you who are a little bit unsure, you're not sure how to, you know, how to press into God's presence, to come out of the pressures of this world. 2 Peter 1:4 says, through these he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. And for those of you who are wondering, you're thinking, Lord, my salvation, I'm not really sure. Scripture teaches, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're feeling oppressed, you're not sure whether you're ever going to be free again. This bondage over me, God said in his word, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And if you're being wearied, you're tired of being bruised and bashed and battered by the circumstances and situations you face, Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Maybe you don't feel like you're good enough. You know, it's easy to see, read these scriptures and you say, you know, Pastor, you don't know the life I live. Pastor, amen. I be, like the father, they brought his son and God said, do you believe? And the father said, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. And maybe you're there and you're saying, you know what, Lord, I don't, you know, sometimes I don't feel worthy. Sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I don't feel like a Christian. I'm questioning, is God real? I'm questioning, is all the, I don't know. Well, guess what it says in Romans? It says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the futures nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But maybe you're struggling to make ends meet. You're not too sure what's going to happen at the end of the month. There's too much month left at the end of your money. Let me remind you, first of all, God has brought you this far. Oh, and his promise, he says, my God will meet, will supply all your needs according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. I want to remind you that the Lord is here. He wants to connect with you right here, right now, in your situation. You know, we've looked at living a life that celebrates eternity. And maybe you want to be part of this life. Maybe, you know, you want to press into this. Well, this life, these promises, they're available to you and they're available to you today. All you have to do is accept and trust Jesus as Lord, as Savior of your life. Christ made three simple promises for all of humanity. The first is an invitation to rest in him. The second is an invitation to follow him, discipleship. And the third is an invitation to live in him, to belong in his family. And these three invitations, they're not mine. They're made by Jesus himself. Nobody, no human being, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no child, no one has ever, ever found total fulfillment outside of Christ. It's not possible. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Do you want to know rest? Do you want to know more joy, more security, more affection? Do you want to know what it means to belong? Well, I invite you to surrender your life, surrender your heart, commit it to Christ. I guarantee you, you can know peace with God. You can know peace in your soul. I guarantee you will know peace of mind. I guarantee it. You will know joy on a level that you have never experienced. And you can celebrate eternity in your day-to-day life.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.